kind of a twist on The Night Before Christmas. The night before Christmas, a couple was traveling. A baby was come before the next day. They slept in a stable with animals around them. The Messiah was born in a lowly barn, in a manger filled with hay. The night before Christmas, the world had no Savior, no hope for redemption to save them from wrong. God sent down his promise, the baby King Jesus. Salvation had come, for God had sent his son, one Bethlehem morn. The night before Christmas, a new star was shining, guiding three wise men from the east in search of a king. It moved through the heavens to the city of David. It shines today to show us the way to Christ the King. And the night before Christmas, the world had no Savior, no hope for redemption to save them from wrong. And God sent down his promise, the baby King Jesus. Salvation had come, for God had sent his son, one Bethlehem morn. Amen. Love that this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll get into our message today. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, you're good. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for December. Lord, it's cold outside. I'd like to be in South Carolina. But God, Lord, I thank you for Ohio. I thank you for our home. God, I thank you for the roof over our head. I thank you for the shoes on our feet. I thank you, Lord, that for the people who come to Mission Point, dear God, Lord, I thank you for people who come in with coats. Dear God, Lord, because I have ministered to people who didn't own coats. So God, Lord, I thank you for all of our kids that got them this morning. Dear God, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that over the holiday season, none of us in here have went hungry. God, I thank you for putting plenty on our tables. Dear God, Lord, in the next couple weeks, we are going to be going to doors that may not have plenty at their table. May we be the light that we should be. May we not leave and talk about their sin. But dear God, Lord, may we remember that we might have once been there. And thank you for what you do in our lives every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What was the journey like that Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem? More than likely, it was extremely slow. Due to Mary's advanced pregnancy and dangerous bandits along the route, it was thought to be very, very slow. It was thought to be that they took at least 9 days to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So if we look at that, if it was around approximately 9 days, they traveled 90 miles, then that means they traveled 10 miles a day. I don't know about you, but I don't think my wife would ever travel on a donkey 9 months pregnant or on foot. And when you look at the area or the terrain in which they traveled, it was in the Judean hills. It's very rough. It's a very rough, deserty-like terrain. And it's amazing that they knew that they were protecting what? The Christ child. Amen? They were protecting the Christ child. Bethlehem, over 2,000 years ago, is thought to be an extremely crowded village, all right? So when we say extremely crowded village, it's not like the numbers that we think of today. Over 2,000 years ago, that little village of Judea's population was several thousand people. Due to a census, the village was unusually crowded because we know at that time that they had to go back to their homeland because of a census. The village inn was full. So Mary and Joseph, where did they stay? In a stable. Stable was more than likely just a cave. Bethlehem was in the hills of Judea. My people come from foothills. Amen? Any of y'all come from the hills? My family does. Amen? I loved going with some of my family. My family comes from West Virginia. And it's funny when you look at some of their stuff and I'd go back down there, I always thought, man, I wonder if that is what it looked like. I'm so thankful. Amen. We think that sometimes that Jesus was born in high society. He was the King of Kings and then he was the Lord of Lords, but he was born very lowly. Amen. So due to this unusual census going on, A stable was, it was not uncommon for a cave to be a stable or to even be a home. But why is the birth of Jesus so significant? Let's think about that. Why is it so significant? There is not one single agreement that we have upon prophecy, on the number of prophecies, okay? So if we look at on his birth, his life, and his death, and his resurrection, theologians, scholars, biblicists, they all kind of quarrel when it goes to how many prophecies there are. They can agree upon about 200. Amen? They can agree upon the Old Testament, there was about 200 prophecies. Some scholars and writers say that there could be upwards almost to 400 prophecies in the Old Testament about his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Today, we're going to look at the prophecies of Jesus' birth in the Old Testament, and we're going to show the fulfillment in the New Testament. Amen? Because what happens prophesied in the Old Testament has to come fulfilled. Where? In the New Testament. I'm thankful for a God who is alive today. Amen? I'm thankful for a God who is alive. Let's go back to Isaiah. If you got your Bibles with you this morning, give you a moment. We're going into the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 7, 14. Isaiah chapter 7, 14. And a lot of people read this verse at Christmas time, right? We don't know where it comes from, but we see it, right? You see it on your cards. Where does it happen? We all always think, well, this must be Luke chapter 2. No, it's not. It's found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. All right. And therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name what? Emmanuel. Amen. I thank God for that today. This prophecy was of the virgin birth was prophesied over 700 years before Christ was incarnate. Remember that word from last week? We talked about he was pre-incarnate if he was on earth before the birth, but incarnate, it was 700 years still till Christ's birth. This prophecy gave Israel a glimpse of a miraculous sign that would come. So when Isaiah wrote this prophecy, this was a miraculous sign. Amen? You know, they probably thought at that point, he's going to come tomorrow. Amen? Many of us for centuries and decades, and if you've been in church for a very long time, did you think that if you're living today and you was in church maybe 25 years ago, did you already think the rapture would have happened today? It hasn't yet, has it? God's still on time. God's prophecies work in whose time? God's time. The fulfillment of prophecy happened in Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to look at that this morning. So if you turn over in your Bible now, we're going to look at the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, verse 27. And here it is. Behold, a virgin shall be with what? A child. And shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. Over 700 years it took for that prophecy to be fulfilled. And his name means what? God with us. I'm going to share with you this morning that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God is with you today. He dwells within you. I think that's important to share with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to take that moment today to tell you, he can live within you, and he can live within your heart, because Jesus does walk with us. Amen? Amen. Let's go on and move on here. Let's look at the prophecy of the birthplace of Jesus. And this is Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2, and looking at the NLT. Micah chapter 2, NLT. But you, O Bethlehem, are a very small village among all of the people of Judea. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in a distant place, in distant past, will come from you on my behalf. Now, we're going to look at this. What does this mean? The origins of this. When Micah prophesied of the birth of Jesus Christ, that was approximately also 700 years before Christ. So Micah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he prophesied where it would be, in Bethlehem. Why is that so significant? Because in Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, we see the fulfillment. If you want to turn over in your Bible this morning, turn over to Matthew chapter 2, 4 through 5, and we're going to see the fulfillment. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, when we're talking here, who's talking here? Who's demanding? Does anybody know who's demanding this? Herod. He's demanding, where is he born? And who is he asking this to? Asking it to the wise men, because they worked in astronomy. They had to find out where the coordinates of the star was, and they knew from writings of old that it was going to be in Bethlehem. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by a prophet. Amen. And that prophet came from Micah. So we see this is linking. Prophecy links, all right? So why we have that difference in number on prophecies going from 200 to 400, those 200 prophecies linked. You had a beginning and you had an ending point. And that's awesome. And that's so awesome that God does not fail on his promise. Amen? I want you to know that today. God never fails on promises. It's amazing that when Micah was prophesied this, Bethlehem, he would be born in Bethlehem. Could you imagine being a prophet this morning? I want you to think about that. Go back in your mind and think, okay, what would it be like to be a prophet? Now, we've never been around prophets like this of old. We don't know what that's like. And it's pretty amazing if it was in a vision or a dream or they audibly said it. And I'm sure he thought it was for that time period in which he lived. Sometimes God might show you things today. Amen? It may not be for today. It might be for tomorrow. It might be for years down the road. You may pray prayers today that might be answered 15 years down the road. I had an answer to prayer after 7 years ago praying a prayer, got answered last month. And what's it about? None of your business. Amen. Can I kind of tell you, God is never late. I thought he would have been on time 7 years ago, 1 month into my prayer. I prayed that prayer for 7 years. 7 years in, God showed me my prayer. I thank God for that today. I'm sure along the line, these prophets got discouraged. They got discouraged. Okay, God, you're showing me these prophecies, but there's no Christ child being born yet. Why is that for? Remember, God makes no mistake in his timing. He makes no mistake in his timing. Amen. Now we're going to move on here for a moment. We're going to look at the prophecy of Mary and Joseph fleeing to Egypt. And we're going to look at Hosea 11:1. Hosea 11:1, and this is in the Old Testament. Hosea was another prophet. Hosea is also known in the Old Testament for marrying who? What's her name? Gomer. It's kind of a weird relationship, isn't it? He had a very weird relationship with his, his wife. God told him to marry a woman who was a prostitute. And it also symbolized the relationship between God and Israel. Amen? And that relationship showed that Israel was not faithful to God. Many years later, you can almost look as a Christian society today as us as a Gomer, and God still as that Hosea. Amen? There's been times we've abandoned him. There's times we have stranded him. And how faithful has God been through everything? And so that gives you a little bit of back history on who Hosea is. And so we're going to look at this as 11:1. It says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him. And I called my son out of Egypt. Now, that's a very obscure verse. It's a very, very obscure verse. When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. What this is also referring to, when Israel was a child, this is also talking about the Christ child. Israel was young. Where did Jesus have to flee to? Egypt. Why did he have to flee to Egypt? Herod. Herod was after them. And so Hosea prophesied this in the Old Testament, that they would need to flee out of there and go. All right? So he probably did not fully understand his prophecies then. But then we have a linking verse in the New Testament, and that is going to be found in Matthew chapter 2, 13 through 15. And let's look there this morning. Chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into where? Egypt. This is where the prophecy is starting to be fulfilled. And be thou there until I bring the word of Herod. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. Might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Prophecy fulfilled. Amen. You have your starting. You have started with, who to start with? Hosea. Who brought the prophecy? An angel of the Lord. Who heard the prophecy? The mother and father. And what did they do? They acted on the prophecy, and the prophecy was fulfilled, and they went to Egypt. That's awesome. That prophecy and that writing from Hosea 11:1 was approximately 750 years before Mary and Joseph had to flee to Egypt. 750 years. So this prophecy is even a little bit older than the last two prophecies that we read. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? That God has a fulfillment in prophecy. You will always find something from the old, and you can link it with the New Testament. Then prophecy that Jesus came for all people. Let's look at that this morning. Jesus came for all people. And I want to share this with you, that God loves all people. Amen? Amen? All people. Doesn't mean that he loves the sin. He loves all people. You say, well, man, that person's hard to love. Love them anyways. Be nice to them. Do you know that person you might lead to the Lord someday? Amen? Love them. It's hard. Your neighbor, you're like, oh, I don't want to love my neighbor. Oh, the person who's going to give me a fruitcake this year, I hate fruitcake. Love them anyways. The person's going to wrap my gift in Grinch stuff because I'm grumpy? Yeah, love them anyways. Love them anyways. Try to win them to the Lord. Talk to them about the Lord because God loves all people. And Jesus came for all people. Why Jesus came? It's because Gentiles like us could have an escape. Amen? I was not born into a Jewish family. You were probably not either. Maybe you were. I don't know. I was not. But God came to save common men and women. Genesis 12:3. Let's go there this morning. So we're going back to the beginning. Genesis 12:3. We talked about last Sunday that before the earth began, there was the Father, there was the Son, and there was who? Holy Ghost. And the Son was there. Who is the Son? The Son is Jesus. And so, all times, he is also known as the Creator. Writers in the New Testament also will talk about that Jesus was the Creator. And we have to remember that he was the Creator. And he was also the redemption for our sins. Genesis 12:3 says this, I will bless those who, what? Bless thee or bless you. And whoever curse you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I read a different version. Sorry about that. Let's look over at Romans now. So it's in Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at Romans 1:4. Romans 1:4. And it says this, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Let's break that apart this morning and talk about that. Romans 1:4. And declared be the Son of God. Jesus is who, declared now what? The Son of God. And he has what? Power. And he is the resurrection from the dead. When we talk about Christ in prophecy, please also don't talk about him in past tense. Amen? You say, why would you not want to talk about Christ in past tense? Because he is very present. He's very present. I love when Justin and Sarah's little boy goes up to me and says, Pastor Matt, I want to tell you a verse. He starts telling me John 3:16. I like when I go into Upward and I see Tiffany or I see Vivian. Monday I saw Vivian. You had a new verse for them, didn't you, this year?
I did.
What's your new verse this year?
Philippians
4:13. We all need to learn that too, don't we? But what was your last year's verse? For God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him shall not, but have. He is the resurrection this morning. His resurrection this morning. When I see those little kids get so excited about a verse, and then I'm like, why am I not excited about that verse for? We have this little kid who comes, and I won't say names, but he is fun. And me and Vivian was talking about it the other day, and he questions. I love that. It's so interesting. They'll have a thing, and he'll question, and he'll say, now, Tiffany, if this was this, why didn't this happen? And we go, let's look it up. Same thing with prophecy. If you don't understand it, we got to go back to the root, and we have to look it up. But God was declared to be the resurrection. It's amazing on that fourth day. What happened? So third day, he got up out of the grave, didn't he? A lot of our people today, we keep him in the grave. When we talk about Jesus Christ today, we see Jesus around the world on a cross, don't we? What do you not see here? Jesus is not on a cross here. He's off the cross, amen? He's also not in the grave because it was prophesied that he would raise up out of the grave and that he was the resurrection for our life. Where can we find true, where do we find true salvation in? Only in Jesus Christ. All right, so we say, okay, where does this all link together? The author of Genesis 12:3 is attributed to be Moses, okay? Scholars and different biblicists and different professors, they will say that it's anywhere between almost 4,000 years that was written before Romans 1:4 was written. Amen? So I want to say this. Today you might say, well, my prayers are not getting answered. Or God showed me this and it hasn't happened yet. Okay, it took 4,000 years for Moses' prophecy to come fulfilled. Do you stop on your journey? No. Do you turn back? No, there's no turning back. You continue. Jesus Christ came for all people, and we're going to talk about that now. He came for all people, and we need to look at that this morning. Let's look at Acts. If you want to turn over in your Bible, look at Acts chapter 4:12. Look at Acts chapter 4:12. Acts chapter 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. All right, stop there for a moment. There is salvation in no other this morning. You may be searching in a new age world, thinking or teaching. I ask you to stop and please listen this morning. There's no other found in Jesus but in Jesus Christ. You say, well, there's a new trend happening, or there's a new way, or there's many ways to get to God. Friend, no. Neither is there any other salvation, for there is none other, there is none other name under the heaven given among people whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, you say, well, what is salvation? Why were all these prophecies here for? Why did they happen? Why did they have to send, why did God have to send his son into the world? You're looking at it this morning. Look at your neighbor. You're looking at it. Okay, now look at just turn around to different people. We're the reason. Amen? We're the reason. We're the reason that Christ came into the world to die for people like us. Sinners, right? We're saved, sinful people. We still mess up. We get back up. He came for people like us. He came for people like me. I'm glad somebody wanted to die for me, amen? Amen? I don't know a lot of people who would like to die for me. But I know of a Savior who did die for me. You say, well, I've gone too far. Christ would never have died for me. I want you to know, no. It doesn't matter how far the stain is. Christ did come for you. He did come to give you life. And he came he shed his life's blood for you. You see, it's more than just a manger scene, amen? It's more than a Christmas dinner. It's more than all these beautiful decorations. I think Mission Point has some of the most beautiful decorations on the face of the earth. I always do. That was one of the things that attracted me when I first came to church. I'm like, there's somebody who knows how to decorate. Can I tell you, more than any of that stuff, Christ came for just us. And just not us, everybody outside this door in Mission Point. Go into your street, your highway, the byway. God came for those people too. The people that we are going to be giving Christmas dinners to, amen? Some of them might know Jesus. But then instead of just giving them a ham this year, I want to ask you something. Would you pray with them? Would you pray with them this year? Offer a prayer? Do you know people are hurting? Can I get an amen on that? People are hurting. Christ came for hurting people. Do Christians hurt? We sure do. We have problems, even as Christians. And Christ came for us as well to make sure that we are continuing on the journey. Continuing on the journey. Let's look at Acts chapter 16, 31. Acts chapter 16, 31 says this. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. It's so simple today. You say, how do I be saved? Believe on him. Believe on him. I can tell you a few things. Number one, water baptism don't save you. Amen. You must be saved first. You must be saved. You say, how do I get saved? Accept him as your personal Savior. Believe on him as Lord of Lords and Jesus Christ. And then you commit your life to him if you follow him. And then after that, we believe that you get baptized. But you must be saved first. And it's so simple. All you got to do is just what? Believe. We're going to look at how the prophecy was finally fulfilled. Now, if we go to look at prophecy, I love this one character that sits in the New Testament that is hardly ever talked about. His name is Simeon. Simeon was in the temple, and he knew the prophecies, and he knew all these Old Testament prophecies of old. And he had waited his whole life for the Christ child to be born. Amen? You can equate that to us today. Our whole life we've been hearing about the rapture. Amen? I talk to you, a lot of y'all. You're like, when you get frustrated, you're like, oh, I wish it was today, the day the Lord come back. Amen? Trust me, we've all said it probably once. But that day was different for Simeon. That day, the Lord arrived in flesh. Let's look at Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2 and verse 29. This is kind of the last part. Luke chapter 2 talks about the Christmas story. And as I get into this, and we're getting into that Christmas season, I'd like to ask you as a family, get your Bible out this holiday season. Amen? Read the Christmas story to your family. Or maybe you say, well, my family don't want to hear it. Okay, just get it out yourself and do it as a devotion at home. Read a couple parts of it together. Maybe just set a time aside to go through Luke chapter 2 and talking about the nativity. I read it every time, and every time I read something a little bit more different that time. I think as I've grown in my life and through my ministry, I have seen a different side of Joseph and a different side of Mary than I did as a kid. I don't see them in a felt wall cutout. I see them as a teenage girl, a young adult man, and struggling to raise a family. I see a stepfather having to raise a child that's not his own. Could you imagine being Joseph? Think about that this morning. Be Joseph. That's a hard calling. You say, well, God gave me a hard calling. No, God didn't call you to be Joseph. That's a tough calling. And God called him to do that. But then God had, they had this child, and now they are in the temple. And we're going to come to where Simeon is. And Simeon makes this statement. And he holds this infant baby in his arms. And he said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy what? Salvation, which thou hast prepared for before me, the face of all people." Simeon, that morning, or that day, or that afternoon, he held the creator of the world. Simeon was an old man at that point in the temple, and that day he held the salvation of the world. But that day he also held the creator of the stars, of the moon, of the galaxies. He held the creator who created what an atom would be, what a molecule would be. He held the creator of everything. He held one of the most influential humans, who was God, on earth that day. And he said, "Now let your servant depart in peace." I couldn't imagine what you would say if you held Jesus Christ as a baby. What honor that would be. Could you imagine the honor? But I want you to know this morning that you can hold him in your heart today. The Savior of the world, you can hold him in your heart today. He can change your life completely. He can revolutionize your future. He can change your destiny. He said, "No, I can't." Yeah, he can. Yeah, he can. Charlotte, if you'd like to come up and play this morning. God, when he gives a prophecy, he has a starting and he has a what? An ending. And it links. This morning, you are not in here just for any circumstance. Amen? I don't believe. We know that God is always faithful, always on time, always present, always omniscient. He knows what's going to happen. But this morning, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, you can.